General Meetings, Montreal, October 1975, Gospel by Eric Pilkington.
Shall we sing number 25? Number 25. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Number 25. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Sleepy days are telling fast that the night will soon be past and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Could we stand and sing the first and the last verse of number 14? The first and the last verse. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? A question tonight, and I wonder whether each one in this room now would ask themselves that question before I begin. Are you washed? Will you ask yourself that question? Is my soul washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Oh, I want to warn your friend, if such there be one here tonight, if you cannot say in truth that you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, tonight we want to again give you the invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as your own personal Savior. And if you do, then you will be able to sing in truth that you are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And when the bridegroom cometh, oh, what a glorious day awaits the believer. You, my friend, then too will hear that call that will summon you into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to speak of three different things. And it is found in the sixth chapter of Genesis. And the three things are this: what God saw, what He heard, and what He said. Genesis chapter 6. We'll read verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. This is what God saw. Read the third verse. And this is what God said. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, for what God heard, would you turn to the 22nd chapter of Job? Just hold our chapter, and we'll turn to Job 22. This is what God heard. Job 22 and verse 50. Hast thou marked out the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood, which said unto God, Depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Let's notice verse 14 of chapter 21. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Well, how solemn it is to think, dear friends, tonight that the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout this world tonight. And the God that saw what took place in Noah's day, he sees what takes place today in this world. And not only that, he knows what has taken place in your heart. Yes, he knows all about your heart and mine. And as God looks down upon this world tonight, what does he see? What does he hear? Oh, my friend, as he looks down, he sees that this world is corrupt. He sees the same thing that he saw when he looked down in Noah's day. He sees everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes. Yes, and what does he hear? Does he not hear the same thing? Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, how true it is. And so, friend, tonight, you might be speaking to yourself in your heart. But remember, there is a God above who knows what you think in your heart. He knows what you say in your heart. And oh, my friend, you and I cannot trust our hearts. No, it tells us in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, I believe it is, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Oh, I, the Lord. Yes, the Lord knows what is in your heart and what is in my heart. Oh, just think of this condition that existed in the days of Noah. As God looked down and saw the wickedness of this world, oh, it repented him that he had made man. Yes. Oh, as he saw the wickedness, the sinfulness of man's heart. Beloved friend, it says God repented that he had made man. But oh, how wonderful that God provided a way of escape for all those who would believe and accept the remedy. So we'll read a little more in Genesis chapter 6. And it tells us about Noah. In verse 8, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And then we get the fashion of the ark, the dimensions mentioned in the following verses. We'll just stop there for now. We'll go back to what the Lord said in the third verse. We find that the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, friend, tonight, when God uttered these words, he meant what he said. And how true it is, and it's still true tonight. God's Spirit will not always strive with men. And I'm sure that everyone in this room who is of the age of accountability, that is, who knows their right hand from their left hand, oh, I'm sure that in your heart you have felt the Lord's Spirit speaking to your heart. Oh, I can remember as a little boy when I wanted to do something that I knew my parents did approve of, when I knew that any Christian would frown upon it, I looked this way and I looked that way. Why? Why did I look around? Because my heart was condemning me in that thing. Ah, yes. God's Spirit, oh, beloved, whether you're young or old, God's Spirit is speaking to you. And in your soul, you know that He's speaking to you. You know that He loves you, and He wants you to be saved. This is why we have gospel meetings. Oh, how wonderful to have the truth of what we've had before us today. How wonderful to know that the coming of the Lord is drawn nigh, that the Lord Jesus is coming to claim His own blood-bought people and take them home to glory. This is a wonderful hope. And beloved, our hearts rejoice as we meditate on this hope of the inheritance that is ours. But oh, friend, tonight, this is a gospel meeting because there are those who we feel that are in this number who are not saved. And oh, as we think of the little children, of the boys and girls that are growing up, how about it? You sung that hymn, but did you sing it in truth? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, how sad if you sit here tonight under the sound of the gospel and go out that door still in your sin. Oh, I want to warn you, friend, tonight, don't go out that door till you have made sure that you have received the Lord Jesus as your precious Savior. Oh, yes, He is speaking. But remember, His Spirit will not always strive with man. He speaketh once and twice, and man perceiveth it not. I remember a man who often we had given the gospel. Some of us in this room had spoken to that man many times. And you know, he professed, he said, yes, that's right, sir, that's right. But you know, in our hearts, we felt that what he was saying was a lie. That what he was saying with his lips, he wasn't saying was from his heart. And I want to tell you, that man was suddenly cut off like that, without any warning. Oh, friend, be warned tonight. God's Spirit will not always strive with you. If you continue to resist God's Spirit, I want to warn you, God may stop speaking to you. Oh, yes, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. But oh, beloved, so Christ was once offered, yes, what for? To bear the sins of many, and oh, unto them that look for Him, shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So God said His Spirit would not always strive with men. And as God saw the wickedness, why, we find that He also saw one man. He saw a man there named Noah. Isn't this nice? And we have the name of Noah mentioned here, that he was a just man. He was one that feared God, that walked with God. And you know, tonight, the Lord looks down and He sees the heart of each one of us. He knows whether we're saved or not. Oh, friend, He knows. whether you're saved or not. Oh, you might say that you're saved. And how many do that? To avoid a little embarrassment. But oh, dear friends, we want to warn you. Oh, God is not mocked. He is not mocked. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I remember a young boy when I went to school. And this young boy, he grew up into his teens. And he said to my brother, he says, "Yes, I know what you're saying is true, but I'm going to have a good time first, and then I'll get saved." I want to tell you, that young boy only lived 2 weeks after he uttered those words. He lived 2 weeks. Oh, be warned. Be warned, dear friends. Be warned. Whether you're young or old, God's Spirit will not always strive with you. Tonight you have the opportunity of receiving Christ as your Savior and having your sins washed away. And so we find that God saw the wickedness. And in Job 22, he heard what man said. Isn't this an awful thing for man to utter against his Creator? Depart from us. I wonder if there's one here tonight, although you may not dare to say it with your lips, are you saying it in your heart to God? Depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, beloved friends, you know what God said in that 22nd chapter of Job? If you continue to read it, you'll find what God says. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Oh, friend, God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have peace. And so he says, acquaint now thyself with him. How are you going to get acquainted with the Lord Jesus? There's only one way, and that's to come to him and receive him as your Savior. So now God saw the wickedness of man, and God heard what man said. And what does God do? In verse 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Oh, isn't this wonderful? To think that God, before he would destroy this world with the flood, he provides a means of escape for all those who avail themselves of it. All this ark speaks to us of Christ. It is salvation. And God has salvation for everyone here. We had read before us this afternoon, dear friends, that salvation is of the Lord. Thank God it is. And you know you can have it tonight by receiving the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Yes, salvation is of the Lord. And so here we have God providing a way whereby man might escape this terrible judgment. Oh, to think of it. God is going to destroy this world with a flood. Oh, in those days, you know, they had never seen rain. It had never rained before. And how foolish man thought. How foolish to build an ark up there on dry land, no water around. How foolish. Oh, friend, you might reason in your heart, but I want to warn you, don't reason. This is not faith. Do you want to be saved? There is only one way to be saved. Do you want to have your sins forgiven? There's only one way. Therefore, be justified by faith, we have peace with God. Oh, yes, there's only one way, and it is through faith. Well, now God is going to test man. He tells Noah to build this ark. Yes, the ark is built. Noah is given the dimensions of how to build it. And we find that Noah went ahead and did as God told him. And as Noah built this ark, beloved, we learn from the New Testament scriptures in 1 Peter that the Spirit of Christ in Noah's day, in Noah, no doubt, preached to those people. And can you not, beloved friend, just think of Noah? He believed God. He believed there was going to come a flood that would destroy the whole world. And he proved that he believed it. He proved that he had faith because he built the ark. And believe in this. Oh, Noah preached to those people around them. He reproved them of their wickedness. He warned them. And beloved friends, we want to do it tonight. Oh, this world is no better than Noah's day. This world is fast going on to judgment. Yes, it is. As we think of the terrible things that they did in Noah's day, dear friends, we know in our own hearts that perhaps today there are more wicked things going on that went on in Noah's day. Oh, yes. And still God is waiting. Why? Why is he waiting, friend? It is because of one thing, and that is his love for your soul. He is not willing the death of the sinner, Ezekiel tells us. No, he is not willing. And as Jonah said, why the Lord was long-suffering, yes. Oh, yes, the Lord is long-suffering. He's full of mercy. And so here's the proof of it, the building of the ark. Oh, my dear friends, as I look into the face of the many young people here tonight, as God looks into your heart, what does he see? As God reads your thoughts, what does he hear? Oh, I'll never forget what I heard one night as a young brother was faithfully warning souls of their need of a Savior. I heard some whispering, and this is what I heard as I sat on a back row. I don't care. Dear friends, whether you care or not, God cares for your soul, and he's waited till now. He has given you another opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior and to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, I want to warn you, the coming of the Lord is drawn nigh. And dear friends, if your name is not written in God's book, when the Lord comes, you will be left behind for judgment. Yes, for judgment. Well, we find God said to Noah, make thee an ark. Now let's just go on a little bit. In the 7th chapter, we find the Lord still speaking. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Oh, yes, the time has come. Noah has built the ark. He's 100 years building this ark. And as he preached, dear friends, of righteousness and of judgment to come, there was only Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. 8 souls believed what God said. Only 8. Just think of it. Only 8 people believed what God said. Oh, how sad. How sad. Can I ask you to turn to Romans 5 for one verse? The 5th chapter of Romans. Just a part of the last part of verse 20. Romans 5, verse 20, the last part of the verse. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Beloved, think of it. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Here we have Noah. Oh, think of the grace of God that could wait for 100 years. And now, the last day had come when God said to Noah, come. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Come thou and all thy house into the ark. And dear friends, this is what God is saying tonight. He is saying, come. Oh, yes, he sees into your heart. He has heard what you have uttered with your lips or with your heart. Yes. And seeing all the enmity and the hatred, the disobedience, the self-will, and many other things. Oh, think of it. God is saying, come. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Isn't this precious? And you, dear children who are here, is this not a proof that God loves to save households? Thank God he does. And what a responsibility for the parents. Oh, no, had this message from the Lord, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Oh, this ark was the only safe place. There's only one way to escape this judgment from this flood, that it was going to destroy this world. One way, the ark, the ark. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. Oh, that ark is Christ. Friend, what about it? Have you come? If not, will you come? Oh, the invitation is still going out. Come thou, yes, come thou and all thy house into the ark. So this is salvation, and this was the only way. This was the only means to escape this judgment that it was going to come down upon this world. The only way. And so we find in verse 5 that Noah was obedient. Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Just notice that. And verse 5 of chapter 7. He did all that the Lord commanded him. Now let's notice. It says in verse 9, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and female as God had commanded Noah, that is, of all the clean animals and fowls. They all went in. And it says in verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the son of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his son with them, into the ark. Verse 15. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh. Verse 16. And they went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Oh, think of this. Now, it says here that they went in. Yes. God says, come thou. And he's saying tonight, come. What are you going to do? Oh, friend, think of the long suffering of God. Noah went in through that door into the ark. And that door tonight speaks to us of Christ. Yes, the Lord Jesus said in the 10th of John 9, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. May I ask any here tonight again, have you entered the door? Oh, through faith have you accepted the Lord as your Savior? Remember, the Lord is the door. Now they went in through the door. And the door is open, friend, to let you in. But remember, the day will come when God will shut the door. Oh, it came here. But I want you to notice, oh, dear ones, God waited 7 days before He shut, before He sent that judgment. Yes, with Noah in that ark, God waited 7 days. Isn't this a picture of His grace? Oh, friend, what are you going to do? He's still waiting. He's still waiting. Judgment is a strange work. He doesn't delight to judge, but He does delight to bless. Well, we find that God shut the door. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. Yes. Oh, can we not use our imagination a little? And as we think of those people who laughed at Noah, and I'm sure they did. I'm sure they thought that Noah and his family were a little odd. Yes, to go into that ark. And as they saw that door shut, and nothing happened, perhaps they thought a little more that Noah was a little odd, you know, not right in his mind. But, dear friends, when that rain came down, I am sure that those people outside the ark would have paid any amount of money. They would have done anything to get inside. But they couldn't. It was too late. Too late. Oh, the solemnity of it, dear friends. The solemnity of it. Think of these people outside the ark. Oh, Noah, for 100 years, earnestly, I'm sure, preached to those people. But only 8 believed. Only 8. And now it is too late. They're outside. Oh, yes, I'm sure that they climbed the highest mountain. But you know, that water rose higher and higher and higher. Why, every living creature perished. There was no escape. You know, the apostle says in Hebrews, he asks the question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape. No escape from that judgment, friend. All those people perished in their sins. And where are they tonight? Where are their souls? Oh, friend. Do you know where their souls are tonight? In the first epistle to Peter, we find that those spirits in the present house of the lost, those spirits who listen to Noah preach, in 1 Peter, they're there in the prison house of the lost. Yes. Oh, friend, I want to warn you, if you die tonight without Christ, your body will go to the grave. But I want to warn you, your spirit will go to the prison house of the lost, awaiting that resurrection day. When you, my friend, will stand before the great white throne, when those books will be opened, and that book of life was opened, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, friend, tonight, do you wonder that we are in earnest? We are in earnest tonight because we believe what God says. And if we didn't believe it, we wouldn't be here. But we believe what the Word of God says. Oh, there are many tonight that say that the story of the flood is just a myth. The story of Noah, why, it's just a fable. And friends, tonight there are some who stand in the pulpit who utter those words, who deny the story of Noah and the flood. But I want to warn you, friend, if you deny the sixth chapter of Genesis, where are you going to stop? Because we have the flood mentioned in Joel 22. And we have the Lord Jesus speaking about Noah. And we have the Apostle Peter in his epistle speaking about Noah. And friend, oh, if you deny one part, you don't have anything left. You don't have anything left. Oh, I want to warn you. This is the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. We mention what God saw and what God heard. And I'd like again to bring before you what God said. Oh, just think of God. Oh, the Lord Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, the heart of God. Yes, He's still saying the same words. We have His precious Word tonight that tells us the gospel of His grace. And we have the words of the Lord Jesus saying, "Come unto Me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh, friend, tonight, have you come? If not, will you come? Will you receive the Lord Jesus tonight as your Savior? A few weeks ago, after a gospel meeting, my heart was filled with joy as a little boy about 6 years of age came right up to the front after the meeting to shake my hand, just about five or six, and said, "I received the Lord Jesus as my Savior." Think of that. A little boy, a five or six, he confessed the name of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if there is any here tonight who love the Lord Jesus. Have you confessed His name? Will you do it tonight? Oh, that glorious verse in Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, friend, do you want to be saved? Sometimes people say, "What folly, what from? I'm all right, I'm in no danger." Oh, friend, tonight, if you're not saved, you are in danger of slipping down into a lost eternity. Yes, you are. And if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, you will. You will. Oh, remember then what God saw, what He heard. And yet, despite it all, despite seeing the rebelliousness, the stubbornness, the self-will of the human heart, God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. Oh, dear friend, I think of that verse in Matthew where the Lord Jesus speaking, He says, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." He doesn't say all, for many, but it is to all, upon all who will believe tonight. Oh, yes, He gave His life a ransom. And so the work has been accomplished. And still the door is open wide. What are you going to do? Are you going to come in? Oh, we sing that hymn, God's house is filling fast. Yes, it is. How about it? How about it, dear friends? Have you entered the door of salvation? Oh, how precious. Well, we find here in chapter 8, God remembered Noah. Yes, he remembered Noah. And the day is coming, you know, dear friends. We had before us today in the 14th of John about the Lord coming again. He's coming to take everyone who has put their trust in Him. He's coming to take us home to glory. He hasn't forgot His promise. God remembered Noah. And I want to tell you the day is coming when God is going to remember that promise and the Lord Jesus is going to come. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. What a wonderful day for Noah when God remembered him. And you know, then we find that the rain stopped and the waters went down, down, down. And then we find God speaking to Noah. And verse 16, God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. And so Noah went forth. Oh, there he was saved by a great deliverance from this judgment. Yes, God remembered Noah. Oh, friend, I like that. And you know, if God was to forget you, my friend, for one moment, your soul would perish. If He was to forget this world, my friend, would perish. But God never forgets. No, He never forgets. And so, God remembered Noah. Oh, I am loath to close this meeting, because as I think of that terrible judgment that fell upon those who rejected Noah's message, the judgment fell. And as I think of those spirits of those men, they're bound in a prison house of the lost, and they're still going to stand before God. They're going to answer for what they said to Him when they said, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy words. Is there one here tonight like that? Are you indifferent to the word of God? Is it nothing unto you that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Is it nothing to you? Oh, I want to warn you. Be not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh, yes, if you go on in your sins, you're going to reap the result of it. You're going to come under His judgment. Well, God remembered Noah. And so the day came when he came out of the ark. Some time ago, I was on an airplane. And I had my ticket. And I sat in the waiting room waiting the final call to go on board. Just like there are many here in this room tonight waiting for the final call that will call us into the presence of our precious Savior. And as I sat there, I noticed that the waiting room, the airport, was full. And finally the call came to go on board. And so immediately I wanted to get on as fast as I could. I didn't want to be left behind. And so I got on board that aircraft. And you know, I had a seat assigned to me. The number was on my ticket. And I found my seat and I sat down. And as I sat down, it felt good to be in my own seat. And as I looked at all the people that were coming on, I began to wonder, how are they all going to get a seat? How are they all going to get a seat? There were so many. But somehow or other, one by one, they all got seated except one. One man. And there he stood in the aisle. One man. Perhaps there's one here not saved. I don't know. Well, the authorities came along, stewardess. He looked at his ticket. He called another officer. And this time, this man, he went right down all the seats on the aircraft. He wanted to see the ticket of everyone. Everyone was questioned. Let me see your ticket. And you know, I was interested. If my eye followed him down the one side and back up the other side, and he came to me and I handed him my ticket, and he gave it back to me, it was all right. And then I began to be more interested, and I saw him go down the aisle. And he came to a man that I had somehow suspected that he was on there illegally. Because there was a look in his face that told me he wasn't at peace. He was uneasy. And that officer looked at him. Let me see your ticket. And he said, "You get off." And that man, my friend, had to get off that flight. He didn't have a word to say. He had to get off. The other man sat down in his own seat. The door was shut. And that man was left behind. Left behind. Why? Why was he left behind? Because his name was not in the captain's book. His name wasn't in. Oh, again, as I look into the faces of many here tonight, I can't see into your heart, but I'd like to ask you, is your name in God's book? Is it in God's book? If the Lord was to come tonight, would you be left behind? Would you be left behind? Oh, I trust not. That man was left behind. For him, it was nothing serious because there were other flights following during the day, and no doubt he got to his destination before nightfall. But friend, when the Lord comes, he's only coming once to take all the believers home to glory. And then, my friends, it'll be too late to be saved. It'll be too late to get your name in his book. Now, how are you going to get your name in God's book? Are you asking, how can I get my name in God's book? Oh, dear friends, I'll tell you how. You know what it says in Romans 6 and 23? It says, the wages of sin is death. And that's true. And we know that every man in this world is a sinner. And the proof of it is because people die. Old and young alike, they die. The wages of sin is death. But oh, God said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How about it? Is there one here tonight who will receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Would you put your trust in Him? Oh, if you do, my friend, God will record your name in His book. I'm going to read the last chapter of Revelation, at least the 20th chapter and the last verse. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This, my friend, will be the proof. Yes, it will be the proof that what God says is true. Yes, what He says is true. When you stand before God, as you will at this day, if you're not saved, you're going to stand before God here when the books are open. Yes, you will. And if you're not saved, your name will not be there, and you will be left behind. Oh, I trust that each one of us will remember that God sees everything that we do, and He hears everything that we say. And oh, I trust that each one here will hear what He is saying. What He is saying. He knows what you're saying in your heart. And He's saying tonight, come. He's saying, come. For all things are now ready. Number 24. We know there's a bright and a glorious home away in the heavens high, where all the redeemed shall with Jesus dwell, but will you be there and I? We'll sing the first and the last verse of number 24. So we stand. We know there's a bright and a glorious.